Hello, Merry Christmas, everyone. This is your host, Ryan Van Wyk, back with another podcast episode. Now, there's a couple things I want to get to. To start it off, there was an explosion that happened in Tennessee today, and they believed that the explosion was intentionally set. More than likely, I'm going to assume that it was a Trump supporter who was pissed off that Trump lost. That's probably what happened. Also, in sad news, we have John Ecstasy, something, I think the guy's, they called him Ecstasy as a stage name, but his first name was John. Hold on, I'll tell you in a minute. But he was a rapper from the group Houdini, and he died yesterday. Let's see here. Houdini hip hop group. Yeah, John Ecstasy Fletcher from the 80s hip hop group Houdini was died yesterday. He was only 56 years old. Kind of sucks he was only that young. But let's see here. But here's the thing I want to get to here. As 45 eventually leaves office, only 50% of Americans say that he'll be seen as a failed squatter. Of course, he was already a failed squatter when he started squatting in the White House in 2016 or 2017. Sorry, and he will be known as a failed squatter, and that's what he's always been known as. He's always been a failure anyway. 45 leaves the White House next month, with the country more sharply divided than when he did move in amid the caustic assessments of his record in office. 50% of Americans now predict that history would judge him as a failed squatter. Technically, I would expect it to be higher than 50%. The survey taken in the waning weeks of his administration shows the risks of actions he has contemplated on his way out the door. Americans overwhelmingly say issuing a preemptive pardon for himself would be an abuse of squatteral power. And even in the bigger majority, including most Repugs, say that he should attend the President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration to demonstrate the peaceful transition of power. Now, let's put this in there. I would not like 45 to be at Biden's inauguration, and that's only because if 45 shows up to Biden's inauguration, 45 will make it all about himself. And that wouldn't be right, because the day is supposed to be about Biden, not about 45 who's leaving. 45 hasn't announced whether he will attend the inauguration on January 20th, and White House officials say that he has been weighing pardons for himself and his family members. On Tuesday, he issued about 20 politically charged pardons and commutations, with more expected to follow. Much of his energy since the November 3rd election has been spent seeking ways to overturn the results and making allegations of widespread voter fraud that have no basis in evidence. The last 4 years alone have been lacking in compassion and empathy, lacking in anything other than advancing the personal interest of 45 and his friends and allies, he technically doesn't have any friends, but allies and family, said Babette Salus, 60, who's a retired attorney, and Biden voter from Springfield, Illinois, who was among those surveyed. There have probably been worse presidents, but I'm not sure that there has been a worse one in my lifetime other than 45. The poll of about 1,000 registered voters was conducted between December 16th and the 20th as a margin of error of about 3 percentage points. But asking how history would judge 45's squattency, 16% said predicted he'd be seen as a great squatter, but obviously not. 13 as a good squatter, 16% as a fair squatter, and 50% as a failed squatter. But the 5% are undecided. I'll tell you what, 50 years out, 45 will be much better regarded than he is at the current time, said David Shep, 73, who's a pumpkin tit voter from Jacksonville, Florida. With the passage of time, he said, 45 will look decent for sure, I doubt it. He had half the people loving him, no he didn't, and half the people wanted him dead, exactly not. But this is what Arshganjo, 19, a Biden voter from Great Falls, Virginia, had said. Arsh is a sophomore at the University of Texas. I think he would be definitely taught in history classes and regarded as more of an anomaly rather than, you know, a great squatter. But 45's ratings are more sharply negative than the ones Barack Obama himself, who was a controversial president, received when he left office 4 years ago, than a USA Today Suffolk poll found that half of the Americans predicted history would view Obama in a positive light, with 18% calling him a great president and 32% a good one. 23% called him a failed squatter. Failed president, basically. 45 continues to hold a powerful position among Repugs, however, while Americans, by an overwhelmingly 70-26%, say it's time for 45 to concede the election now that the Electoral College has voted. Repugs, by double digits, 37% say that he shouldn't. Indeed, most Repugs are ready to vote for 45 again if he is a party nominee in 2024. That's because they're fucking retarded. 71% of the Repugs said that they would support him. That's because they're dumbasses. And another 16% said they would consider it because they're also dumbasses. And 10% said that they wouldn't. That gives 45 the standing to dominate the Repugs' direction in a way no losing squatter or nominee has done in modern times. But Repugs aren't convinced that 45 in the end will run again. While 48% predict that he will be the party's nominee in 4 years, 35% say that he won't be. 45's attacks in the election have failed in court, but succeeded in sowing doubts about the legitimacy of Biden's presidency, even though Repugs and Democratic officials alike and battleground states have declared that the election was conducted fairly and honestly. And that was conducted between a 62-37 majority vote. 62% believe that Biden was legitimately elected president. The fact that more than a third of the electorate, including 78% of Repugs, say he didn't legitimately win the office, looms as a significant political hurdle, particularly for a president who will take office during a deadly pandemic, in an economy that's in upheaval. Never ever happened. Alan Matthews, 42, a tech engineer and a political independent from Lone Tree, Colorado, said of Biden's election he repeated unfounded accusations that were prompted by pumpkin tits but debunked by independent fact checkers that Biden was recorded as scoring nearly 100% of the vote in some battleground countries. In some ways, Biden's standing has improved since his election by 20 points, 51% to 31% of those surveyed approve of the job he has done since the election. His favorable and unfavorable rating is at a 10-point positive, 49-39%. In comparison, pumpkin tits is 15 points negative, 40% to 55%. It's definitely time to try something else, said Dalton King, 23, who is an oil field electrician from Loveland, Colorado, who voted for Libertarian Joe Jorgensen for president. There's a lot of things that personally worry me. But what we're doing now obviously isn't working, so hopefully these new ideas and these new programs, whatever they come up with, will work out all for the best. The coronavirus and its repercussions should top Biden's agenda, voters say. 44% say that this is his first focus, should be controlling the spread of the COVID-19. Another 26% say that it should be creating and preserving jobs and improving access to health care ranks at number three, and at the third, at 12%. No other issues breaks into double digits, but I would like to have some hope, said Susan Salud, who's 59, a retiree from Easton, Pennsylvania, who voted for Biden. We are all still suffering the isolation, feelings of loneliness and depression, obviously, and I'm just filled on a daily basis with the sadness for all of the deaths from the pandemic. She appreciates Biden's bipartisan approach, but worries that it won't work given the Capitol's divide. I like his temperament and that he wants to get things done and along, she said, but added that it might be foolhardy unless there's a change in the leadership in the Senate. By 66-27%, those surveyed that they predict Biden will significantly dismantle Pumpkin Tits' legacy. Yeah, what legacy? A view held across the party lines, the finding was similar to the expectation in 2016, and 59-30% said that Pumpkin Tits would dismantle Obama's legacy, which is exactly what he did. Views of the wisdom of doing that weren't bipartisan, though. Among Democrats, 79% said dismantling Pumpkin Tits' legacy would be a good thing, which it would be, while 72% said while 72% of Republicans said that it would be a bad thing. Still, nearly 1 in 5 Republicans, 18, said it would be a good thing. Americans rank Pumpkin Tits' economic record as his greatest achievement in office by far. That actually wasn't an achievement for him. Nearly half of Pumpkin Tits called the economy his greatest achievement, which it wasn't, followed by foreign policy and his leadership in general. He didn't have any leadership anyway. Among Democrats, half replied that none when asked about pumpkin tits' tough achievement. Economic policy was second cited by 22%. Tech in general, 45's leadership is his greatest failure, according to those surveyed, followed closely by his record on race relations. And Republicans say that his failure to drain the swamp in Washington is their biggest disappointment. Well, he wasn't going to drain the swamp anyway. We already knew that. There was concern about some of the steps that the squatter is now contemplating. 66% to 24% of Americans say that he should attend the inauguration of his successor next month. I do not want him there, so no. There was a little bipartisan difference on that question. 65% of Democrats and 62% of Republicans say that he should attend. 62 out of 25% of those surveyed say that it would be an abuse of power if Pumpkin Tits issues a preemptive pardon for himself, but most Republicans, 56 to 24%, say that it would be an appropriate use of power. By 58 to 29% of the respondents say that it would be an abuse of his power to issue a significant number of pardons for his children, top aides, and others. When 45 took office 4 years ago, 59% told the USA Today that a poll that the country's divisions were deeper than they had been in the past, and that view has only intensified. Now 67% said that the divisions have gotten deeper, and it's a view held by overwhelming majority across party lines. As for Biden's task ahead, I think the number one thing he needs to be able to do is unite Americans to move forward, said Soluce, the retired attorney general from Illinois. I think if he does that, everyone else will probably fall into place. But that is a good thing though too. Now basketball season's gonna I mean well basketball season started on Wednesday, but there's gonna be some basketball games on today. The first one I think is at 11, so I'm gonna get ready to watch that. I think it's hold on. Was it Miami Heat against Miami Heat against the New Orleans Pelicans. That's gonna be the first game. There's gonna be several games on. Oh, there's a baseball trade. Nationals acquired Josh Bell from the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's not too bad. That's gonna be and they're getting a great player in Bell. And also, I've been watching a lot of. I prefer women, not queers like you. Not queers like you. I prefer women, not queers like you. I prefer women, queer, not queers like you. Not queers like you. Yep. Because my other job that I do besides doing my broadcasting and YouTube is Meijer, and Meijer was closed today because of Christmas holidays, and it's the only day that they're closed throughout the year. But because even though I don't work today, even though I'm not working today, and even though it's Christmas, I still get my holiday pay, which will be included in next week's check, that I get. So I actually like the idea of the holiday pay, and that's what I like about Myers is that they give us holiday pay for every holiday that we work. Now, speaking of the holiday pay, Meijer did 6 holiday pays. Usually their holiday pays were New Year, Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, I think were the 6 holidays that they had. Now they're gonna have a 7th one because the Orange Fuck Weasel 45 had signed it into effect, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that he wrote it in that Christmas Eve will be recognized as a national holiday. So now, if I stay at Meijer, I'm gonna get Christmas Eve now on top of Christmas Day as holiday pay. So you're gonna have those 2 days included in your check. So when you work that 1 week. Which is great. And that little bit of money does help, and it goes a long way. I don't think it's going to happen. I was reading this online earlier, and I said it would. I said I would. I wish the Bulls would have kept him, but they didn't, and that was their mistake. But I do wish. And I don't. And I know it's not going to happen. But there was talks about Derrick Rose possibly coming back to Chicago. But I don't think it's going to happen. But I wish. But the Bulls would have to give up somebody good to try to get him. And I don't want them to give up anybody, any of their good players that they have right now to get Derrick Rose back. But Derrick Rose is 32 years old. He's going to be pushing. He's pushing up on the retirement age at 32. I said he's still got a long way to go in his career, possibly. But he's pushing retirement age. A lot of basketball players will retire between the ages of 36 and 37. And I said that's only 4 to 5 more years for him, and let's see what he can give. But he was one of the Bulls' best players, but then also injuries kind of derailed his career a little bit. But we'll see what comes out of that, if that does happen or not. And it looks like the Miami Heat are going to be starting in about 14 minutes here. The game, even though the game stated that it started at 11, but they never start on time. They start like anywhere between 15 to 20 minutes late. And then my next holiday payday will be New Year's, and let's see how New Year's plays out compared to Christmas, because with the Christmas days. Yesterday when I was working at my Meijer, it was kind of fucking busy. It was fucking packed. I said we couldn't keep a cart in the store. I kept being sent out to go do shit. And then because it was so fucking cold and windy yesterday, it affected my heart condition that I have. And my heart was racing. It was pounding because it was so cold out there. And I'm shivering. I'm freezing. And even though I had a jacket on and stuff like that, it was still fucking cold. So during my break yesterday, to warm myself up a little bit, my Meijer has a coffee shop inside. So I went over to the coffee shop, ordered a coffee, and it warmed me up a little bit. But there is a coffee thing that they're advertising, and it might be over by tomorrow, but I won't know. But there was a couple things that they were offering, and they only do it during the certain months that there's holidays. So during Christmas, they have like these Christmas things that the Christmas coffee advertisers that they have. One was called the Christmas Cascade, one was called the Cream Brulee, and then there was something else. There was like three of them that they were advertising. I didn't try any of those three, and I was telling my mom. I said, "Oh, my coffee shop is advertising another coffee," and she's like, "Which one?" I said, "It's called Christmas Cascade," and she's like, "Did you try it?" I said, "Nope." I said, I didn't have enough money to buy two coffees. I only had enough money to buy one." And I usually and my usuals when I go at the coffee shop at my job, when I order coffee at my job at the coffee shop that we have, it's usually I either get a Mountain Escape, or I get a Caramel Cascade Latte. And those are my two choices that I usually get. Also, there's a pretzel shop in my job, and they're not like the hard crunchy pretzels. They're like the pretzels that you cook in the oven, and they're kind of soft. So sometimes on my breaks when I don't have enough money for lunch, like when I don't have anything for lunch, I sometimes go over there and get something. And but that's usually what I do is I do that. And I was doing laundry earlier too, so I was going back and forth between doing laundry. Trying to get my stuff done because I have to have my laundry washed before I go back to work tomorrow. So I got all that done now, so now I'm good on that. And usually basketball plays 82 games a year, and they're only doing 72 games a year, so it's going to be 10 games less. And now I get to watch one of my favorite players on TV because he's playing for the Pelicans. I get to watch JJ Redick and stuff like that. And I've always liked JJ Redick as a player. Let's see if I can find out what I'm looking for here. Oh yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch it the other day because I was at work, but my college team did win yesterday. Not yesterday, a few days ago, they beat the Nittany Lions. I think it was the name of the team. It's whatever the whole team the Nittany Lions are from. I think it's but my college team has their head coach Brad Underwood. He doesn't have a lot of wins though in his career because he hasn't coached long enough in college. But his record is 162-79. With all three college teams he's coached combined, but at the University of Illinois, he's got 53 wins against 52 losses, and he just signed an extension too. So I forget how long that extension was for, but he just turned 57. So like I said, he's got a long way to go to build up a decent amount of wins. But one of the best coaches in college basketball is the head coach of Duke, Mike Krzyzewski, who's been around for 40 something years as a coach, and he's still fucking coaching at 73 years old. But I'm happy that my team won, so at least I'm happy. I said every time my college team wins, I'm happy. But the Bulls suffered their defeat on under new coach Billy Donovan on Wednesday. Billy Donovan's now the head coach of the Bulls, and they lost their first game underneath him. And I said Billy Donovan is gonna be. I don't know how long he plans on coaching. He used to be a college coach, and he's one of only a few people, to have made the successful transfer. Into becoming what they call from going from a college coach to an NBA coach because he never used to be because sometimes when you hire coaches from college into the NBA, sometimes they make the successful transition, others don't. The only one that didn't make the successful transfer was Hoiberg for the Bulls, who they fired a few years ago, or was it in the last couple of years? And Billy Donovan used to be an NBA coach in college for the he coached two teams, Marshall and Florida. He coached Marshall for 2 years, and then he was at Florida for like 19, for like, and then he was at Florida for like 20 years before stepping aside to become a college co to become an NBA coach. And then I'm still reading my one book, The Mary Trump, Too Much, and basically it's Too Much and Never Enough. And basically the book is explaining about her, and the book is written by Mary Trump, and it explains how her uncle 45 got so fucked up in the way he is. And I'm almost done with that book. I'm at page like 74, and there's like 135 more pages to go, which I can finish it in the next day or two. And then I can move on to the next one, The Rage by Woodward. And then after that one, I can move on to Disloyal by Michael Cohen, which was Pumpkin Chit's former financial advisor and lawyer. So I got those books to read. But that's really about all today. So, yeah.